At a certain age, I find, one begins to ask oneself the question, what is it I'm not doing or don't have that would make me truly happy for the time I have left? A sort of genteel version of the bucket list, I suppose. At any rate, the answer for me seemed obvious. A piano. And not just any piano, but a fine one, of a quality I've never had. One with the sensitivity of touch, the depth of sound, and the purity of tone that I'd only experienced in occasional encounters with concert grands. So, about a year ago, I bought such a piano. It's a 1939 Baldwin 6'6" parlor grand that had been owned for decades by an elderly man named Richard who lived up Cape. My piano tuner, Jim Pfeiffer, told me that Richard had grown too infirm to play it anymore, but that it was in fine condition, a beautiful instrument. The price Richard was asking was more than I was prepared to pay, but Jim said he might let it go for less to the right person. So one afternoon we went to see it. The piano was in a temperature-controlled room in the basement. I could tell from the start that it had responsive and flexible action and what seemed like excellent tone, but I couldn't really feel what it sounded like. With Jim and Richard looking right over my shoulder as I played, I was too self-conscious. It was like having a first date with a girl and trying to get to know her with her parents hovering over you. I asked if I might come back later in the week and spend a little more time with her alone. Richard agreed, and so a few days later I returned with a set of pieces I'd carefully selected to test its character. Richard asked if he could leave the basement door open. Of course, I replied. For the next hour or so, I had a deep conversation with the piano, and when I was done, I knew that this was an instrument I could happily spend the rest of my life with. The only question was, could I afford it? As I came upstairs, Richard walked slowly down the hallway to greet me. "It's nice to hear it played again," he said. "It's a lovely instrument," I replied. "I know you won't have any trouble getting what you're asking, but..." He cut me off. "How much can you offer?" I named a figure. He put out his hand and took mine firmly. "Put her there, pal." And that was it. I've had that piano for a year now, and it has everything I had hoped it would. A deep, sensuous sound, gorgeous singing tone, and an action responsive to my slightest touch. But one thing I hadn't anticipated. I'd regarded it from the start as a possession, and thought about it almost entirely in terms of what I could get from it. Never did I think it might make some demands on me. And yet I found, for instance, when I tried to rather sloppily play through a piece I didn't really know well enough, it felt wrong. It was as if the piano were saying, "What do you think I am? Some floozy you can just mess around with whenever you want? Well, you can't. You have to deserve me. You have to treat me with respect and earn my favors. You need to take me seriously and be as good as I am. In other words, buddy, you need to practice." Acquisitions, it seems, can be more than possessions. They can be more like marriages, demanding an equal amount of give and take for as long as you both shall play.